It's where we're going to be today, Matthew 16. Like I said last week, we are beginning a new series this week. We've been in the book of Joshua since New Year's Day, that Sunday, and we've walked through it the last 8 weeks or so. And we're going to be in the book of Matthew for the next six or seven, or I'm sorry, throughout the New Testament, actually. I'm going to be talking about the church throughout the next 6 or 7 weeks. We're going to bounce around a little bit, talk about the people of the church, what makes up the church, some of what the church is supposed to be doing. We're going to start today, the title of today's message is Foundation. We're going to be talking about what the foundation of the church is, when Jesus called it out, when it got started. And if you've missed any of the last few weeks, want to go online and look at any of our messages. We've got audio and video of almost every message from the last several weeks on our website, www.corningfbc.com/messages. And that's the audio, and then just add /videos to the end of that to get to the videos that we have. So we got Sunday morning and most of our Sunday nights of the book of Colossians the last several weeks. So take some time during the week, if you get a moment, to go back and watch through some of those and see what we talked about. Again, today we're looking at church and what the church is. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 16. Guess where Jesus first uses the word church? The first time that the word we translate as church in the New Testament is used is in Matthew chapter 16. So you can see this is right before Jesus starts making his way toward the cross. This is right before Jesus starts making his way towards Jerusalem, to what his inevitable crucifixion, to the end of what a lot of his followers thought he was there for. A lot of his followers thought he was there to establish Israel as the dominant kingdom in the world. That when the Messiah came, and the Messiah did what the Messiah was going to do, when he left, Israel would be great. Israel would be the greatest nation in the world. Israel would be in charge of everything. No nation could stand against Israel. No king could stand against Israel. Israel would be great again, in other words, in this phrase there. You know, anyway, sorry. Some of y'all caught that. But they wanted a political savior. They wanted a savior who would come and make Israel dominant over Rome, dominant over all the kingdoms of the earth. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came for what we're going to talk about today, the purpose of why he came. So, what's in a name? Verse 18, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and we'll get kind of the lead up to this here in a moment, but Jesus is talking here, and he says in verse 18, he says, "I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Let's talk about the word church a little bit. This word for church here in the New Testament, it's one that gets translated as church. The original Greek word is ekklesia. Ekklesia. Hey, Drew, if you'll click on the very first tile up there, they'll get our background changed back. The very first end of the sermon, it should. Okay. Try one that says clear BK. Or Daniel's going to try and get it. That way we can read our words. Now go back. There we go. Awesome. Then you just click on those now. The word is ekklesia. And the word is defined as a gathering or called out ones. And it's interesting, if you look at some of the translation of the Bible, the Tyndale Bible, which was written in 1524, you won't find the word church anywhere. In 1524, Tyndale wrote a Bible. He translated the Bible himself out of the Greek into Latin and early English, and the word church is not in there anywhere. He translates it as congregation. Because that word ekklesia, that word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 16, means a gathering of people. It means an assembly, a gathering together of called out ones. The word church didn't come around until almost 300 or 400 years after Tyndale in German, the word Kirche. And the word Kirche means a building or an institution. And that word is the word that got put into the Bible when King James had his translation done in 1611. That was a lot of dates, a lot of names. But a lot of y'all, you know the King James Bible. Well, King James was a guy who commissioned a translation of the Bible. And when it was released in 1611, he insisted on the word church being used instead of congregation. Because he had it in his mind that, you know, he was the head of the Church of England. He wanted this idea of church being an institution, church being a place to go. But if we go back to the Greek, if we go back to that word ekklesia, to that idea of a gathering, the idea of an assembly, church was never supposed to be an institution. Church was never supposed to be a place where you go. It was a people who did. The church is us. The church is me. The church is you. And we can be the church if we've got this building. We can be the church if we've got no building. We can be the church if we're wandering around the world. That's the whole idea that Jesus said there's going to be this group of called out people for a purpose. And they're going to work and they're going to act and they're going to look and talk and act a certain way. And it's all going to reflect back to him. And it's going to be about what he wants to be about, wants it to be about. But see, we've taken this idea of church, this idea of the church, this building institution. Sometimes some churches get so wrapped up in that, that if we're not in the right building that looks the right way, that does all the right things, then we're not having church. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is us coming and gathering wherever we are, worshiping, praying, teaching, doing all that Jesus commanded us to do. So what is the church? Let's go back to verse 13. What is the church? Because Jesus, there's a buildup to verse 18 that we need to cover here. Verse 13, Jesus starts with a question. He says, it says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Son of Man was Jesus' favorite name for himself. It comes out of Ezekiel, but he was asking about himself. Who do people say I am? If you were to survey the people of Jerusalem today and say, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Who do you think he is? What would they say? And we get really two different responses here. I want to talk about a third one, but we get two responses here in these verses. Verse 14, it says, and they said, his disciples said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So if you were to go throughout first century Jerusalem and say, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? He's claiming to be the Son of God. He's claiming to be Messiah. He's got people following him. Who is he? I said, I think that he's John the Baptist come back from the dead. Or he's Elijah come back from the dead. Or Jeremiah, some prophet. He's a great teacher, is the point. I think he's got some really good things to say. It's kind of the idea of what they were saying. He's a prophet. He's a teacher. He's one of those things. But the one word they don't say is Messiah or Son of God or anything like that. And that's the one I want to add in here today is what who is Jesus according to the church today? Who would kind of your average church go or your average church member say that Jesus is? And I'm afraid for a lot of people, their answer would be, he had some really good stuff to say. He taught some really good moral lessons. Most of them we listen to, some of them, you know, they don't fit into 2017. I've heard pastors say that. That if Jesus were alive today, he wouldn't have said some of the things he said. Yeah, he would. Yeah, he would. But who is Jesus to you? If you were to get pinned down and somebody asked, who is Jesus? Is he some guy that lived 2,000 years ago? Do you doubt that he ever existed? Who is he to you? Well, Peter had the right answer. Jesus asked again because that was their answer. Well, this is what everybody else is saying. And then Jesus pins them down in verse 15. He says, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, he was kind of the spokesman for the group. Most of the time he would speak up and say things either really good or really bad. Sometimes he messed up, but this time he gets it right. He says this in verse 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, so it's the same idea, but it's the one that was sent to save the world. And he knows that Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is not just a good moral teacher. Jesus is something other than all of that. Because, see, we can't say that Jesus was just a good moral teacher and not God. I don't have the quote up here, but C.S. Lewis has this thing he talks about, that we cannot say that Jesus was just a good moral teacher but not God. Because Jesus said some things that if he was just a moral teacher, if he was just a guy that had some good ideas, he said some really wackadoodle stuff. Okay? Wednesday night, we're in John 6, and Jesus is talking about, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Okay? If he's not something special, that's weird. Okay? Jesus talked about, I look him to heaven to my Father. The God's my Father, that I came down out of heaven. Now imagine somebody showing up on the scene today saying, I'm from heaven, I've come down. I used to be God. Now I'm here, or I was up in heaven as God. Now I'm here on earth as God and man, telling you what God the Father wants you to know. And by the way, when we're all done here, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Do you think that even if he said some good stuff along with that, that anybody would go, that's a good guy to listen to? We can't. We cannot put it there. Either he's who he said he was, or he's insane. He can't be in the middle. And Peter recognizes that. And so Peter recognizes the problem, the people in the first century saying, well, he's Elijah reincarnated, he's John the Baptist come back from the dead, or whatever it is, that Peter's saying, no. You are the Christ. You are the one that God has sent from heaven to earth to save the world. And not only that, you are the Son of the living God. And by extension, God himself. Now, it's important, and the reason we're starting here, instead of talking about what church is supposed to be, I want us to set this up this way, because until we understand who Jesus is, until we understand who Jesus really is and why he came, we will never be able to grasp our identity and purpose as the church. Everything centers around Jesus Christ. If I teach something up here on Sunday mornings that's other than Jesus, if I ever make it through a sermon on Sunday mornings and don't mention Jesus, call me out on it, please. Because if we're not talking about Jesus, we're not doing church. If we're not learning about him, changing to be more like him, going out and being on mission for him, if we're not doing any of that stuff, and it's not about Jesus in any way, we're not doing it. Because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 18, Jesus answers him. He says, he answers him in verse 17. Then in verse 18, he says, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So what is he building his church on? Because some people say that, you know, Peter, the Greek word for Peter is Petros. It means rock. And then Jesus says, I will build upon this Petros, a rock, I will build my church. And some people say that means that he's establishing the headship of the church on Peter. But I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about. I've even got some commentators that I trust that say that. And I don't think they're quite right. I think Jesus is kind of doing a play on words here. He's saying, you're a rock. Get that idea of rock. And upon a rock, I'm going to build my church. The question is, what is the rock that Jesus is building his church on? I believe it's verse 16. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the foundation the church is being built on.